Amazing grace, and just so happens that our scripture text this morning is about the grace of God. Amen. I'm going to be preaching to you this morning on beyond usual. I like what Sister Lindsay shared about extravagant worship. Hallelujah. Praise God. Glory. That just is awesome, really. I mean, that means I'm going to give more than is required. Yeah. Oh, help us this morning, Jesus. You know, in Christianity, the sign of the lack of life is just giving what's required. Anybody can do that. But the redeemed and those washed in the blood and filled with the Spirit of God, well, they give extravagantly, above and beyond the call of duty. Amen? Beyond usual is what we're going to be preaching about this morning. Our text is found in Titus chapter number 2. We're going to begin at verse number 11. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. Amen. You may be seated again this morning. Amen. Thank you for standing for the reading of God's Word and our opening text this morning. I mean, if we were going to stand for all of God's Word, you'd have to stand the entire service this morning. Amen. Because that's what we're going to share this morning is God's Word. Truths from God's Word. I want to share this morning beyond usual, and I get that title from the definition of peculiar, a peculiar people. And the definition of peculiar that I have found or discovered is being beyond usual, or being special, or being renovated, or being remarkable. Praise God. Did you know that you were remarkable this morning? You're special this morning. Amen. Hallelujah. And God loves his people and God loves the world, and that's why he has brought such a great salvation. But he's wanting to work in the lives of believers to take you and I beyond usual and take us to that special place that he has prepared for us. And I am not talking about heaven in this instance. I am talking about the life that he wants to bring into us right here on the face of this earth. He's not just preparing us for heaven. He's preparing us for life right here until he comes. And so beyond usual this morning is a fulfillment of the great plan of God's salvation. Now, I like that term renovated. You can really just kind of look around you here this morning, sitting in this sanctuary, and get a definition of renovated. This portion of this building is nothing like it was when we purchased it. It has been renovated. It has went beyond its usual use. Praise God. That should already start your mind to thinking about a peculiar people, a renovated people. Hallelujah. God's not going to leave us like he found us. Aren't you thankful this morning? Woo, hallelujah. Now, Sister Pepper shared that definition of stress and passion. Hallelujah. And God's Word does not have to stress us if we have a passion for it. Hallelujah. But if we don't have a passion for the Word of God, then a lot of times the Word of God is going to stress us big time. Because the Word of God is going to reveal what needs to be renovated. Renovation beyond usual this morning. Now, I want to share some scriptures with you that is basically the definition of usual or common for the hour you and I are living in. How many believe we're in the last days? We are in the last days. We are actually in the last of the last days. Because really, according to Scripture, the last days began when Jesus Christ came on the scene. That means it is the last dispensation of God's great plan of salvation. And then's going to come a judgment, and then a new heaven and a new earth. Amen. So we are in the last of the last days. And so what is usual or what is common for this day and this hour, and it amazes me how that the Bible speaks about what's going to be going on in the last of the last days. In 1 Timothy chapter number 4, verse number 1, it says, "Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron." Has it ever crossed your mind, or has it ever puzzled you why so many people don't have a conscience? That they can do evil and do wrong and not even think about it or feel bad about it? It's because they have been put through a process that has taught them how to sear their conscience. Just not pay attention to that inner voice crying out, "That's wrong." Whoa. This is common. This is usual for these last of the last days. Now in 2 Timothy chapter 3, in verse number 1, 1 through 5, it says, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come." And perilous just means dangerous, hazardous. And here's why it's going to be so dangerous. "For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such, turn away." That means you're going to encounter them. This is what you're going to encounter as usual. This is what you're going to encounter as common. This is going to be the message of the world, and this is going to be the message of the worldly church. This is going to be the message that you're going to face every time you leave the house of God. This is going to be the message you're going to face, and the type of atmosphere you're going to face when you leave your closet of prayer at home. This is what you are going to encounter, and this is what you're going to fight in your fight for the faith and your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And no one is exempt. Some might say, "Well, I'm not going to encounter that." Well, if you turn on your television and you watch the news, you're going to encounter this. You're going to encounter this when you go to the grocery store. You're going to encounter this when you go to Walmart. You're going to encounter this when you go to your workplace. You're going to encounter what they would call usual and common, because you're going to be like a square peg to their round hole. Because you don't belong to this world, and you go beyond usual. As a child of God, it is not an option. As a child of God, you and I go beyond usual. You and I are a peculiar people. You and I are a renovated people. Hallelujah. We are a remarkable people because we are not bound by the norm or usual or common things of this world. We are living in a higher level. We are living in a spiritual level. We are living in the kingdom of God. And this is where you get those fiery darts. Well, then you think you're better than we are. No, we just got pulled out of the horrible pit we used to be in like you're in. Woo, hallelujah. So we're not better than you are. We've just been redeemed. We've just been washed in the blood. We are now part of the kingdom of God. We've been rescued. That's good, Sister Pepper. Amen. We're going beyond usual. We're going beyond the sinful life. We're going beyond where we used to be. You see, it doesn't stop at salvation. We just continually going beyond. If you're going forward, guess what? You're going beyond. Where are you headed this morning? What's your goal of life? Because that determines whether you're beyond usual or you're just settling for the norm. You're just wanting to go through the routine. You see, they have a form of godliness, but they deny the power thereof. In other words, that doesn't mean they don't talk about it. That doesn't mean they don't even preach about it. It just means they don't take advantage of it or allow the power thereof to bring the life that takes men and women beyond usual. You see, there's multitudes out there that preach about the baptism in the Holy Ghost, but it's not evident in their lives. There's multitudes out there that have been baptized in the Holy Ghost, but it's evident they have went not beyond usual. They have just hit a plateau of ritual. All right, I got filled. I don't know how many Pentecostal people I have encountered say, yep, I'm saved, sanctified, and filled with the Holy Ghost. But do you have life? Or did you fulfill a formula? Amen. You see, sometimes it's easy to do the norm. Did you know that there is actually a norm, quote unquote, for Christianity in the world today? They want to force upon Christianity tolerance, but they don't want to be tolerant of Christians. They want Christians to be tolerant with everyone else, and actually most Christians are tolerant with everyone else because we have the good news. Hallelujah. We have the gospel of Jesus Christ. We have the answer to the usual problem. We have the answer and the remedy to the common problem of the world today. Sin. Sin. And so we see then that the usual is all about us. The common is all about us. And it's even crept into the church world, quote unquote. But notice what the grace of God has brought. Notice what God's grace begins to do. The grace of God brings salvation, and it's appeared to all men. Ooh. Did you know just because you've heard the good news doesn't mean you're a partaker of the good news? Do you know that even if you've heard great truths of God's kingdom, no great truths of the God's kingdom doesn't mean you're partakers of the truths of God's kingdom? It's back to that I can give what's required. Well, that's living according to the letter of the law. I can give what's required. And Jesus said, that's not enough. You must be born again. You need to be spirit filled. Because you've got to be able to go beyond usual. Hallelujah. And there's no other way to go beyond usual than to have that born-again experience and that infilling of the Holy Ghost to where the Word of God becomes life instead of norm, usual, requirements. In Psalms 116:9, the psalmist said, I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. In Acts chapter 1, verse 8, it says, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and Ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. In Romans 6 and 4 it says, therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. God's plan of salvation. God's power for this salvation. God's promise for this salvation. God's promise while I'm in this salvation. Hallelujah. In other words, he wants us to walk before the Lord in the land of the living. Amen. That's right here, right now, and wherever we go and whatever we're doing, we are to walk before the Lord. What does that mean? That we are to walk upright before God. We've got to walk the right way. And Sister Lindsay brought this out a while ago, and I thought, as she was sharing all that, I knew what I was about to preach, and I'm thinking, God, you've got our number this morning. Hallelujah. You are talking to us this morning. Great fathoms of the kingdom of God this morning. It's time to arise, saint of God, and go beyond usual, go beyond requirements, and get full of the Holy Ghost, and start serving God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your strength. Because if that's not what you're doing, you are not ready for the rapture. You are not ready for the coming of the Lord, and you have not set heaven as your goal and your sight, and you are not in love with Jesus Christ, the Son of God. You got to have passion, and that only comes from above. That only comes from God. That only comes in this package plan deal of God's salvation. Hallelujah. You see, the way to go beyond is start walking with the Lord in the land of the living. The way to go beyond is being filled with the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. And to be filled with the Spirit of God, I must be washed in the blood, and a new creature must be created in me. I have encountered individuals who are trying to be filled with the Spirit of God without the reality that they had not been washed in the blood yet. I have encountered those individuals getting the cart before the horse, thinking they were all right with God because of their church pedigree and how long they'd been to church and that they were raised in a church. And so then they just think, all right, I need to be filled with the Holy Ghost. I need to be filled with the Holy Ghost. No, you need to be saved. You need to be born again by the Spirit of God. There's got to be that newness of life. There's got to be the applying of the blood of Jesus Christ to that sinful heart, that sinful nature. There's got to be a born again experience before there can be an infilling of the Holy Ghost. That's the way it works. What we have is a lot of people don't want to admit they haven't been born again by the Spirit of God. I know that because I was one of them. Oh, but I'm telling you here this morning, there is nothing greater than casting aside all heritage, casting aside all teaching of doctrine and training of your past Christian experience, and getting on your face before God and asking God to cleanse you from your sin. Now, if there's not any there, then there's not any to cleanse from. But if there's sin there and the sin nature is still ruling and reigning there, then there will become a cleansing and a born again experience. All you have to do is ask. But you see, pride, in my case, I'm talking here from experience. I'm not pulling this from a book somewhere or somebody else's experience. Pride blinds you to your spiritual need. And that pride is not a pride of how well you're doing. It's a pride of how long you've been in church. Now tell me, how much more pride could you have about your religious bringing than being raised in church all your life? I'm serious. From the time I was probably 6, 7, 8 days old, they carried me up to the front of the church and sprinkled my head with water. In their thought pattern, preparing me if I died before I reached the age of accountability. So, I'm like the Apostle Paul. You want to talk about pedigree? I've got one. You want to talk about religious heritage? I've got one. You want to talk about salvation? I found that. Hallelujah. Delivered from religious heritage. Hallelujah. Just like Saul of Tarsus, Hebrew of Hebrews, learned in the law of the greatest teachers, living the law to the T. That means exactly the way it was supposed to be done, yet he was a murderer. He was evil. Why? Because he was ignorant of Jesus Christ, and he wouldn't surrender to him the first time he met him. You can't tell me that Saul of Tarsus wasn't in Jerusalem when Christ was crucified. You can't tell me that Saul of Tarsus wasn't standing outside or standing around that place of judgment crying, "Crucify him, crucify him." He was right there. He saw everything that was going on. And he was probably right there on that Golgotha Hill or near to it when that centurion said, "Truly, this was the Son of God." When that sun went dark for 3 hours, there was darkness on the land. I'm talking complete darkness. No moon, no sun. When he died, that veil in that temple was rent from the top to the bottom. Now, you cannot tell me Saul of Tarsus did not know about that. He was a Hebrew of Hebrews, a Pharisee. He knew everything that was happening. He was probably right there. This is just sheer speculation, but probably right there when them Pharisees came to Pilate and said, "We want you to secure that too." Because he was the uppity-uppy, if you know what I mean. He was right there among the top. Everybody looked to him. Whoa. See, it's the hardest thing that when you're at the top and you look like you're doing so well, to admit something's missing in your life. And it really got heated. You ever got heated at the preacher? You ever got mad in a church service? I have. More times than I really want to say I have. Whoa, why? Because the preacher was preaching right at me. It's like he picked me out of the whole crowd and just hammered me right down to the floor. Well, that's exactly what happened to Saul of Tarsus. That day when he was consenting to the stoning of Stephen, and Stephen standing there preaching the word of God. Hallelujah. And talk, and the Spirit of God is flowing in that place or around that place. And the Spirit of God is dealing in that place. If you remember that story, they ran upon him and gnashed on him with their teeth. That's pretty mad. And he wasn't doing anything wrong. All he was doing was sharing Jesus Christ, the truth thereof, under the anointing of the Holy Ghost. And it made them furious. Wow. And Saul of Tarsus was standing right there, taking it all in. And he's the one that got it all started, consenting unto his death. I'm sharing all this to get us to a place of reality. Heritage is nothing. Life is everything. Beyond usual is everything. Hallelujah. And so we see then he was saved on that road to Damascus when he finally came face to face with Jesus Christ. And that light shone from heaven and he fell to the ground. And the first words out of his mouth, "Lord, what would you have me to do?" See, there was a change immediately. He wasn't breathing out threatenings anymore. He wasn't mad anymore. He was now a humbled believer in Jesus Christ. There was a change that day. Born again by the Spirit of God, probably before he ever hit the ground. When he realized and finally accepted what the Spirit of God had been speaking to him for a long time. Once again, I can testify of that personally. If I would have surrendered immediately when the Spirit of God dealt with me the first time, I would have been saved maybe a year and a half to 2 years before I was. Same goes for being filled with the Holy Ghost. Had I surrendered the first time he moved on me, I would have been filled with the Holy Ghost a year and a half sooner than what I was. You see, it's all a matter of surrender. It's all a matter of reality of who I am, what I am, and who he is. Hallelujah. Because we're not saved by works, we're saved by faith. We're saved by grace, having faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're filled by the Spirit of God, by that same faith. It's not of works that we have done, it's the work he has done. And if he's done that work in me, then I can be filled. And he will fill me. Hallelujah. Many times I make it harder than what it really is because I have a hard time surrendering my will to anybody, let alone God. Amen. So beyond usual, well, usual is pride. Usual is heady. Usual is high-minded. Are you getting the picture? That's usual. But I got to go beyond usual, and I've got to humble myself. I've got to realize I don't understand. And I've got to realize, but he has my best in mind. Hallelujah. Praise God. And so we see then that there are things that must transpire before I can go beyond usual. And this is when the Word of God becomes that passion instead of that stress. Because here's a scripture. You're either going to stress about it or you're going to love it. Romans 12 and 1. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, be not conformed to the common, be not conformed to the usual, but be transformed. Renovation. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. You're not going to be saved unless God's there drawing you. You're not going to be saved when you want to be saved. You're going to be saved when he calls you to salvation. Yeah. You see, we're going to have to put it in his hands, not in ours. Amen. It's just the reality. This is either something that's going to stress you or it's something that's going to bless you. Something that you're going to have a passion towards, renovation. Now, I've already gave you the definition of renovation. This building is nowhere like what it was in this section when we first bought it. You've been bought with a price. Now glorify God. Renovation. How's renovation going to begin? Well, I want to put it to you like this. Take everything you think you know about God. Proverbially write it down on a piece of paper in your mind. You don't have to do it physically. If you want to do it physically, go ahead and do it. Everything you think you know about God, write it down, proverbially or on a piece of paper. Then wad it up. Throw it in the trash. And then get God's Bible, the King James Version. And get on your knees in an altar of prayer on a continual basis. And in that word on a continual basis. And ask God to write his word in your heart. That you might not sin against God. Don't go back to that trash can. It's time for renovation. It's time for renewing of the mind. If your mind has got warped, because it can get warped. How does it get warped? It gets warped by secular things, common things, usual things. You ever wondered why the scripture admonishes us to think on pure things, virtuous things, godly things? Because if we don't think on those things, we'll think on the uncommon things. will think on the common things, the usual things, the secular things, the worldly things. We'll start listening unto the lies of those that preach in these perilous times. And I got news for you. Preachers aren't guys that wear the tie and the suit. Preachers are those people you encounter who begin to influence your mind. Yeah. Have you ever had this thought in your mind? Why on earth would someone do that? They should know better than that. Really? Maybe at one time they did. But now there might be a big question mark right beside it. Because somebody come along and said, "Hath God said?" Yeah, young people, that's why you got to be careful with the kind of relationships that you have. I think Brother Reed touched on this when he was here preaching. Because relationships will form your minds. And if you sacrifice knowledge of God for a relationship with someone of this world, your mind is being warped. Yeah. Why on earth would teenagers do what they do? Because they're listening to the wrong voices. Why on earth do adults do what they do? Because they're listening to wrong voices. They're not listening to the Word of God. They're not listening to the Spirit of God. And they're not taking full advantage of the grace of God that's been given unto us. I got something to share with you at the close of this that brings it all into reality, that presses us beyond usual. Because this is for the youngest believer to the oldest believer. Because we don't hit a plateau or a ritual of beyond usual. Because beyond is always the next step. Beyond is always a reference to going farther. See, we're on the road to heaven. We're on the highway of holiness. We're on a journey. We're running a race, and our destination is heaven. But heaven is still beyond. And so then I must continue to travel beyond usual. Because just because I learn something of God's Word and even get it applied in my life, there are times when that application gets a little shaky. The connection's a little weak with the Spirit of God, and I find myself doing that which I really don't want to do. You ever read that in the Scripture about Paul? So what was his answer? Well, then I thank God through Christ Jesus. That means I got to get back to a greater connection. I got to get back to a greater fellowship. I got to get back to pressing beyond usual. I can't sit idle. Does everybody know what idle means? Idle means you're not moving. What happens to water that is idle? I mean, you know, that survivalist will always tell you, if you got to have water, never drink from a standing pool. Always find running water. Why? Because standing still water creates little bugs, bacteria, that can be hazardous to your health. Standing still in the flow of God's kingdom can be hazardous to your health. You see, perilous times, hazardous times. If you stop, that means you're giving ample opportunity for the enemy to lend a fiery dart. Yeah. But if you're going beyond, you keep pressing, 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 pressing. And you see, once again, if it stresses you to press, your passion's gone. If you have passion, you are automatically pressing. Woo, hallelujah. Praise God. Pressing beyond usual. Pressing towards the prize, that high calling of God. You see, God's Word, once again, it's either going to stress or bless. Beyond usual is not an option. I want to clarify that, make sure we understand that this morning. It is not just an opinion of a preacher. It is God's word. It is God's way. God did not save us to leave us in iniquity and leave us in sin and remain in a lifestyle thereof. But he has provided power for you and I to go that beyond usual and become conformed to the image of Christ. See, we talk about that, and if we only have that in doctrine form, it's not going to happen in our lives. I mean, as far as doctrine goes, I could quote doctrine to you, and I was just as lost as I could be. I knew all the creeds that had been developed throughout the ages of Christianity, and I could say them from memory. I knew every truth of every creed, and I didn't doubt any of them. I didn't have life. I did not have life. I want you to understand that. You can sit in the powerhouse church and still be dead on the pew. I wasn't in a powerhouse church. I was in a church that didn't have life. They had a form of godliness. In other words, they had every creed that had ever been depicted about God and his kingdom. They don't have life. Because that only comes from the Spirit of God. That only comes when the Spirit of God is given control of life. So that's what happens when we get born again. We give control to Jesus Christ. As the Spirit of God comes, begins to speak to our heart, we give control to Jesus Christ. See, that's remember that, giving control to Jesus Christ. Ephesians 5 and 25, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church. Here's another adjective of the church. It goes along with peculiar. It goes along with renovated. With not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing. Beyond usual. But that it should be holy and without blemish. Beyond usual. 2 Corinthians 5:15. And that he died for all. That they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Emphasis is upon Jesus Christ, the Son of God, realizing that he has died for my sins, and henceforth, from this day forward, I'm not going to live for me. I'm going to live for him. Praise God. That henceforth means the changing point to beyond usual. But this is the way I've always lived for Jesus. It's time to go beyond that. Beyond usual. Hebrews 9:14, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. Everything you thought you knew about God, once again, write it down proverbial on a piece of paper, throw it in the trash. And then now let God begin to lead your life. Let God take you back into any truths you wrote down that are acceptable to him and put them back in your life. But here's the key factor, letting God putting them back in your life. You see, I did have great advantage being raised in church and having that religious heritage. But I did have to do that proverbial thing. That's exactly what God dealt in my heart with, was to take everything I thought I knew and just put it in the trash. And now let the Spirit of God and the Word of God direct my path and renovate my life. And there was multitudes of things that I had learned that he put right back in. Because multitudes of it was truth, but it had only been naturally gained and not spiritually burned. Whew. Write it in my heart. I can't help but think about a CD or DVD in the hour we're living in. We call it burning a DVD, burning a CD. What are we doing? We're writing things on it that become permanently put by heat. Whoa. Writing his word in my heart, burning it into my heart, that I might not sin against God. See, this is the victory. Getting it burned into the heart, not just written in the head. Head knowledge is not going to change anybody's life. Heart knowledge, when it's burned there, it becomes you. It becomes who you are. Now you got to look in the mirror and you got to ask the question, who am I? What have you allowed to be burned into your heart? And if you can't think of anything, then you've been operating off head knowledge all your life, and it's time to get a heart renovation. Woo. A lot of people would get offended at that. Well, there you are again. If it stresses you, and it's the kingdom of God, something's not right. Because if it's what God wants, then that's what I want. And if that's what I need to do, then that's what I need to do. How many realize sometimes you may be in the midst of a project? I was just in one yesterday. And you had to go back. And you got to change something. Because you didn't get it right the first time. Well, in our Christian life, sometimes that's the way it is. We got to backtrack a little bit. Because we're trying to add all things in. We got to realize, wait a minute, this is not working. It's not happening. There's no victory. You're going to have to go right back to the very start. Somehow, you didn't get started right. Because when you start right, it just keeps going beyond usual. Victory from victory. Faith to faith. Glory to glory. So if it's not going that way in your life, then you've got to back up. And you've got to find out where you actually really started. Because if you didn't start on the chief cornerstone, if you didn't start with born again by the Spirit of God, you are not going beyond usual. You have just been walking along trying to take truths from God's Word and make them happen in your life. And that doesn't work. It just doesn't work. You see, things are real to life. And I'm going to close with this. 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 5. And as he lay and slept under a juniper tree, behold, then an angel touched him and said unto him, arise and eat. Usual. Common. How many remember what was happening here at this portion of Scripture without going to more Scripture? This is Elijah. This is Elijah right after a spiritual victory. This is Elijah in depression. Depression's real. Depression's usual. Depression's common. It's real. And Elijah, the man of God, was in depression. He had just asked God to take his life because he was tired of fighting with the devil. Have you ever been there? He was tired of fighting with the devil. He had just seen God, just heard from God, just performed a mighty miracle, and God descended with fire, just licked up all the water and consumed the sacrifice, and he had just slew the prophets of Baal. And now one queen, evil queen, spouts off, today you're going to die. And now he is running for his life and in depression and afraid that it's going to happen just like she said. Wow. So, depression is real. Just using that as an illustration this morning, it can be anything. Any type of emotion, any type of situation. It's not that they're not real. They are usual and they are common. But here, Elijah is asleep under this tree, and the angel comes to him, touches him. You think that would be enough, but it's not. And it says, arise and eat. Arise and eat. It does this twice. See, sometimes, and let me read this to you, because sometimes we're looking for the miraculous when the answer is just simple. In this passage, the angel did not give Elijah a vision or explain scriptures to him or do anything remarkable. He simply told Elijah to do a very ordinary thing, and that was to get up and to eat. If we are never depressed, we would not be alive. Only material things do not suffer depression. If human beings are not capable of depression, then we would have no capacity for happiness or exaltation. There are things in life that are designed to depress us. For example, things that are associated with death. Whenever you examine yourself, always take into account your capacity for depression. It's common. It's usual. When the Spirit of God comes to us, He does not give us glorious visions, but He tells us to do the most ordinary things imaginable. Depression tends to turn us away from the everyday things of God's creation, but whenever God steps in, His inspiration is to do the most natural, simple things. Things we would never have imagined God was in. But as we do them, and here's the key, as we do them, we find Him there. The inspiration that comes to us in this way is an initiative against depression. But we must take the first step to do it in the inspiration of God. If, however, we do something simply to overcome our depression, we will only deepen it. But when the Spirit of God leads us instinctively to do something, the moment we do it, the depression is gone. As soon as we arise and obey, we enter a higher plane of life beyond usual. See, He just told Elijah to arise and eat. And Elijah arose and ate. Come a second time, told him, arise and eat. And he arose and ate, and then he went in the strength of that food and water 40 days. Why? Because Elijah didn't think in his mind, well, if I eat food, I won't be depressed. He just simply obeyed God when God came on the scene, and God led him right out of depression. And he went on to do greater things and do the things God wanted him to do. You see, church, that's how we get out of any dilemma that's usual. Any dilemma that's common. We've got to stop and listen. Stop and listen. And that's what Elijah did, and he was obedient as the angel gave him that. Quit looking for the miraculous. Quit trying to figure out how to relieve your stress. And just ask God for His stress relief. And no matter how simple you may think it is, just be obedient to the Spirit of God. Because it's not a matter. See, if you're trying to figure out how to get out of depression, you won't get out. You'll get deeper. But if you feel the Spirit of God and that unction of the Spirit of God taking you in a direction that seems foolish towards depression, go there. And you'll find yourself walking right out of it. You see, because it's common, it's usual. But the Spirit of God's going to come and take me beyond usual. He's going to take me beyond usual. And I'm going to close with this. Oswald Chambers, Words of Wisdom. Defenders of the faith are inclined to be bitter until they learn to walk in the light of the Lord. When you've learned to walk in the light of the Lord, bitterness and contention are impossible. Walking in the light as He's in the light. Finding that strength from above. Being endued with power from on high. It's not a matter of me figuring things out. It's a matter of me learning to walk in the light of the Lord. Amen. For you see, depression is kind of like darkness. We can't really see. Circumstances, situations have blocked our sight. And we're sitting in darkness. But all of a sudden, it's just like someone turns on a little flashlight. And if we start walking towards the light will get bright. So it's a matter that I must learn to walk in the light as He is the light. Walk in the Spirit of God. Church, in everyday life. Not inside this renovated building, but inside your renovated heart. Walking with Jesus Christ in ordinary daily life. Letting the Spirit of God direct our paths. Lean not to our own understanding. Put our trust in God. And He shall direct our path. We can make it difficult, or we can take the easy road. And the easy road is always surrender and submission, and allowing the light of the Lord to direct our paths. Keeping our hearts tender and sensitive to the Spirit of God. No matter how simple or foolish it may seem to the usual mind or the common mind or what the world would think, know that God's ways are not man's ways. But God's ways will always take me beyond usual. Let's stand together. God of heaven, I praise Your holy name. I thank You, Lord, for the grace, God, that You have given unto us. I thank You, Lord, for the mercy that You have had upon us here this day in this house. Oh, Lord God of heaven, Lord, work in Your wonderful works in our hearts and in our minds. Lord, refreshing that passion, oh God, and opening our blinded eyes, helping us to see, Lord God, what You have for us. And it will always be beyond usual. God of heaven, let Your word, Lord, illuminate. Let Your Spirit speak expressly to our hearts. And God of heaven, take us, Lord, to the heights and the glory and the power of Your kingdom, that we might walk therein, Lord, pressing towards that prize, that high calling of our God. Touch hearts this morning. Touch bodies this morning, Lord. God, touch and bring healing. Lord, touch and bring strength. God of heaven, refresh, renew, revive. Just work the marvelous works of Your glorious light. Hallelujah. Let's come around the altars, church. Let's find us that place of prayer. Hallelujah. And let's allow God to do His wonderful works in us.